Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2230 with a release date of Friday, July 24th, 2020, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The world's biggest amateur radio event is canceled. Hams assist a flight in distress en route to Easter Island. And amateur ingenuity simplifies social distancing. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2230 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, amateur radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
We begin this week with the latest and most likely the biggest cancellation of an amateur radio event this year. The Tokyo Ham Fair, scheduled to open on the 31st of October, has been canceled by the Japan Amateur Radio League, which cited precautions due to the coronavirus pandemic. Crowds at this major international event have run as high in some years as 60,000 attendees from around the world, topping Friedrichshafen in Germany and Dayton Hamvention in Ohio. The Tokyo Ham Fair has been an annual event since its first staging in 1977. Here's looking forward to Tokyo Ham Fair 2021. Emergency intervention is what amateur radio operators do best, and a recent crisis in the skies between South America and Easter Island showed how it's done. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has those details.
Amateur radio operators in Peru were able to provide critical assistance recently after an air ambulance from Chile, en route to pick up a patient on Easter Island, suffered an emergency of its own. On July 9, after the aircraft's satellite communication equipment failed, GIAMO, OA4DTU and the Peruvian Relief Net copied the pilot signal on 7.100 MHz. This is the frequency on which the net operates. The net had just ended an exercise a few moments earlier, and GIAMO and Giancarlo, OA4DSN, were still on frequency. OA4DTU was able to contact Oceanic Air Control in Chile, which had already grown concerned after losing radio contact with the plane. The Easter Island Tower's HF radio was not functioning at the time, making matters worse. The hams kept in touch with the plane, which was finally able to make contact with the control tower via its VHF radio. The plane was then able to receive instructions for landing safely, the pilot then able to pick up the patient and make the return trip to Chile. From Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
If you think antenna or tower work can be dangerous sometimes, consider a different kind of risk some tower workers in Mexico have been taking. According to one news agency report, Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, has the details.
They're called parasite antennas, and they're part of a far-reaching network in Mexico that authorities say use cellular sites and other towers to support illegal drug trafficking. According to a recent report by Reuters, drug cartels often install their antennas on towers amid those of legitimate cellular carriers, making use of the space to enable drug traffickers two-way radio communications. The Reuters report noted that the use of the towers is actually more advantageous to the traffickers when it comes to avoiding detection. In rural areas without the towers, the cartels are compelled instead to install standalone antennas, which are more easily detected than those piggybacked amongst the telecom users. The Reuters report noted that the existence of these antennas put many of the telecom workers at risk when they are doing repair work at such a tower, and many fear for their lives. The same report noted, however, that federal authorities are providing security from the Defense Ministry of Mexico when they seek to dismantle the cartel's equipment. When Reuters contacted Mexico's telecom and broadcast regulator, the Federal Telecommunications Institute, the agency replied that none of the companies under its jurisdiction have filed reports about the existence of any such parasitic antennas. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
A scaled-down communications exercise between the amateur radio community and members of the Military Auxiliary Radio System, or MARS, began on Monday, July 20th. It was held in place of the larger quarterly Department of Defense exercise because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The drill did, however, have the same purpose, to sharpen interactivity between the hams and MARS members. Christian Kudnick, K0STH, picks up the story from there.
As Amateur Radio Newsline went to production, ham radio operators and MARS members were wrapping up an HF skills exercise that ran from Monday, July 20th to Friday, July 24th. Army MARS Program Manager Paul English, WD8DBY, told Newsline that tens of thousands of hams around the country were instructed to listen to WWVH and WWV twice a day for instructions on monitoring 60 meters. Mars members reached out on that band, seeking meteorological information around the various counties' traffic information, detailed reports about local utilities and outages, as well as any road closures. Paul told Newsline that 99% of the time, the ham's subsequent reports to Mars members were expected to contain simple factual information, indicating everything was fine. Mars members were also communicating with hams in the Automatic Link Establishment and the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. He added, quote, "This is about practicing skills and procedures, not the information content. Even under non-emergency conditions," he said, "the partnership is necessary for Mars to be successful in its mission." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
The popular Illinois D-Star Net is on the move. The Wednesday night net, which takes place at 9 p.m. Central Time, has migrated to Reflector 51D, that's 51 Delta, because of issues with hotspots on the previous reflector. The change took effect Wednesday, July 22nd. Reflector 1 Charlie, where the net had previously been, will remain the home of the KB0ZSG International D-Star Net, which takes place on Sundays at 7 p.m. Central Time. Speaking of D-Star, AMSAT now has a reflector available to hams who enjoy using that mode. Jack Parker, W8ISH, tells us more.
AMSAT has announced the creation of a new D-Star reflector supporting four different reflector names, XLXSAT, XRFSAT, DCSSAT, and REFSAT. Hams using hotspots to connect to D-Star are advised to refresh or update their BlueDV or their PiStar host files to see the new entries. Walter Holmes, K5WH, says that the new D-Star reflector is not bridged into the system the way AMSAT's DMR talk group and its Yaesu system fusion reflectors are bridged. He says bridging was likely after a bit more testing. AMSAT has had a DMR talk group and a fusion reflector for more than a year, and their success is credited with sparking interest in adding D-Star to the system. The DMR talk group is 98006, and the Fusion YSF reflector is 11689. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Hams in Australia are especially proud of their success in expanding a signal reporting network in the West. Robert Broomhead, VK3DN, gives us the details.
In Western Australia, the Northern Corridor Radio Group, VK6ANC, has once again expanded a work in progress, the RBN Automatic CWHF Signal Reporting Network. With the help of Fists Down Under, the hams have added a new station to the network to fill a void, and the earliest tests show that it to be successful as far away as the southeastern part of Australia. Radio operators in Australia are being encouraged to test it out on all bands between 3.5 MHz and 24 MHz and report back on their experience. It's expected to be an especially useful tool for operators in the Summits of the Air program. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K7EFZ repeater in Idaho Falls, Idaho, at the end of the Eagle Rock Emergency Practice Net at 9 p.m. local time on Tuesdays. A valued longtime member of the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club, Bill Capitman, WB2CUK, has become a silent key. Bill was a valued member of the New York group and was perhaps most well known for his leadership for three decades of the weekly Swap and Shop on Thursday nights on the club's repeater. Licensed since 1964, he was also a familiar face at regional hamfests in and around New York, where he and his wife Gail, K-A-2-R-Y-E, also a silent key, were known to be fixtures. Until 2002, the couple were also regular visitors to Dayton Hamvention. Bill has been challenged by a variety of physical problems, which kept him bedridden for some time, according to members of the club. He became a silent key on Sunday, July 19th, at the age of 74. The club has also suffered a second loss. Harry Schrader, WB2H, who was a past board member and had served as vice president in addition to LIMARC as his amateur radio family. He leaves behind his wife, Diane N2DMS, daughter Heidi KC2GRL, and son Christopher KC2GRM. Perhaps one of the very few benefits to emerge out of the global crisis with COVID-19 is more hams. Jeremy Boot, G4NGH, tells us about all the new licenses in the UK.
Lockdown has been so favourable for amateur radio in the UK that at the latest count, in the last 3 months, more than 1,000 new licensees have taken their examinations online and passed, according to the Radio Society of Great Britain. As the number of licensed radio operators now begins to exceed 75,000, the RSGB is taking special pride in the newcomers who have worked hard for their achievement in spite of the restrictions of the pandemic. To celebrate their success and to inspire others, it has created a new webpage sharing their stories as part of the Society's campaign Get On The Air To Care. One of the newest foundation licensees is a 10-year-old boy living on England's northwest coast. You can find the link on the Society website at rsgb.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Congratulations to Chris Cassidy, KF5KDR, and Robert Benkin, KE5GGX, the NASA astronauts who completed the 300th spacewalk by U.S. astronauts on Tuesday, July 21st, working outside of the International Space Station on a station system upgrade. The 5.5-hour task involved various upgrades to the space station's power system. For those of us back here on Earth, the event was covered by NASA television. Even if you're not in Australia, the latest free electronic magazine published for amateurs there might be of interest to you, too. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us about it.
When a ham sends QTC, it means I have a message for you. With that very Q code, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia launched its first issue of QTC, the organisation's free magazine, which is readable as an e-zine online. The magazine's move to a full e-zine platform means that the PDF of the winter edition is readable from a browser, from a computer, a tablet, or even a smartphone. The 25-page issue includes articles on how to kill QRM at the home station and an array of tips for avid DXs. Find a link to the July-August issue in the printed version of this week's Newsline script on our website, arnewsline.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
There will be changes when the Great Lakes Division of the ARRL holds its next election. Phil Thomas, W8RMJ, tells us more.
After serving the past 6 years, Tom Delaney, W8WTD, ARRL Great Lakes Division Vice Director, has announced that he will not run for re-election. W8WTD, in a short statement released on Sunday, July the 19th, stated that it had been a privilege to serve as Vice Director for the Great Lakes Division of the ARRL. Tom Delaney went on to say that he remains committed to the ARRL and its goals for amateur radio. WAWTD, in closing, said that he thanks all who have shown him support and encouragement over the past 6 years. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Phil Thomas, W8RMJ.
In the world of DX, be listening for Mateo, IZ4YG. GS, operating from Ghana as 9G5GS between the 8th of August and the 15th of September. He expects to be on the air almost every evening, local time, and plans to be on 160 meters through 10 meters, using mostly FT8 in Foxhound mode and SSB. He also will be using the QO100 geostationary satellite on upper sideband. Mateo will update club logs daily. Send QSL via LOTW, IZ4YGS Direct, or EQSL. Be listening for Felipe, EA4NF, who will be operating on the satellites from Lanzarote Island in the Canary Islands using the call sign EA8/EA4NF. between August 10th and 17th. He is placing a special focus on the very rare IL-39 grid. Be listening on the FM and linear satellites. Send QSLs via LOTW to EA8/EA4NF. There's still time to work members of the Radio Galena Group and the Union of Radio Amateurs, Vetusta, who are on the air in Spain with special event station EG1FMM until July 30th. The groups are commemorating the moon landing in July 1969. Listen on 80 meters through 20 meters, including 60 meters, using various modes, QSL via EB1CAM. Amateur radio has brought many millions of people together, and now one ham in Germany is using his skill in radio and electronics to make sure they stay safely apart. Ed Durant, DD5LP, has our final story of this week.
Marcel André, DL1EKM, wants you to keep your distance. It's for your own good and everyone else's during these difficult pandemic times. That's why the German amateur has done a bit of homebrewing, creating a COVID-19 distance warning device with the help of an Arduino Nano, a distance sensor, some LEDs and some carefully crafted code. If a nearby person oversteps a preset safe distance and approaches too close to you for comfort, the alarm responds with a buzzer and flashing lights that display a sad face instead of a smiley one. Publishing instructions for his creation on Hackster.io, Marcel writes, quote, "One of the most effective ways to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and other viral and cold diseases is to keep other people away," end quote. He says that queues at cash registers or retail counters are particularly risky spots, adding that no one carries a yardstick when they venture out into the world. That's where this device comes in. It requires only a few components and costs perhaps 10 euros, the equivalent of a little more than 11 US dollars. Then you only need to download and follow his layout. He's hoping as word about it spreads, perhaps COVID-19 won't. You can find the link in this newscast's printed script at arnewsline.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
With thanks to the Amateur News Weekly, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, David Bihar, K7DB, DX World, European Space Agency, Hackster.io, IARU Region 2, Japan Amateur Radio League, NASA, Ohio Penn DX, QRZ.com, PHYS.org, Radio Society of Great Britain, Radio World, ShortwaveRadio.de, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Kieran Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB, in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2020, all rights reserved.